everyone. I'm Pastor Greg Pogg, and I add my welcome to you on this beautiful Easter Sunday. We're so glad you're here today. It's always a special day as we celebrate what many have called the greatest story ever told. And so we declare with Christians down through the centuries, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Come on. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
One more time. Christ is risen. Amen. Now, you may recall that we began the season of Lent this year on Ash Wednesday, February 14th, which was also Valentine's Day. And today we are celebrating Easter Sunday on April 1st, which of course is also April Fool's Day. How ironic. And yet I find this quite appropriate, because when Jesus was crucified on the cross, a lot of people called him even worse than an April Fool. They called him delusional. They called him dangerous for claiming to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. His death looked like a bitter defeat, a tragic ending to the brief life of a man in whom so many people had put their hope. But then, as we just sang, 3 days later, he walked out of the grave, and so can we. God's giant plot reversal was complete, and so was his plan of salvation. Victory was snatched from the jaws of defeat, and with it came the forgiveness of sin, the promise of eternal life for all who would believe. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's why we're here this morning, to celebrate the God who saves. Now, the last time that these dates aligned in the same way was the spring of 1945, 73 years ago. That was a very significant year for the story of our nation. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our only three-term president, would die just 3 days or 11 days after Easter Sunday as a result of his long battle with polio. World War II would come to an end in Europe on May 7th and in Japan on August 14th. Life was about to return to normal in America after 6 long years of war. And America was about to enter an unprecedented period of growth, resulting in kids like me who were called baby boomers. Now get this, the average cost of a new house in 1945 was $4,600. A new car was $1,000 to the teens who are here today. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Gas was just 15 cents a gallon. Yes, history moves on. Generations pass. Life stories are written. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have gathered once again on this Easter Sunday, on this April Fool's Day, to share the greatest story ever told, one that changed history and one that is still changing lives today. It's the story of Jesus of Nazareth, who the Bible declares was both fully God and fully man, and was sent from heaven to be our Savior. It's the story of a brutal crucifixion and then a miraculous resurrection. It's the story of Easter. And if you let God's story connect with your story today, He will lift your faith off the page and your life will never be the same again. Yes, the Bible is God's storybook. It's an interesting way to think about it, isn't it? From beginning to end, it's the story of God's love for the whole world and everyone in it. You know, the Bible contains heroes and villains, sinners and saints, great adventures and terrible tragedies. The Bible doesn't shy away from hard topics like power, corruption, jealousy, murder, sex, and money. This isn't a Disney fantasy, after all. It's real life. Let's take a peek at the stories of several of the key players in our Holy Week drama who whose lives were forever impacted by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Exhibit A is Peter, one of the original 12 disciples, who had so many amazing experiences with Jesus during his 3 years of public ministry. I mean, Peter was bold and brash, and why not? He was a fisherman by trade, a driven business owner. But then he met Jesus, everything changed, and he followed him. Peter was there to see Jesus revealed in all his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus' robes became glistening white and God's voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." Are you listening to Jesus? It was Peter who, in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, when others envisioned a ghost walking across the water in the middle of the night, said, "Jesus, if it's really you, call me to step out of the boat and come to you." Jesus did, and Peter walked on water. Now, I've only had that experience once in my life, and I knew where the rocks were. It was Peter who was the first to see Jesus for who he really was. After a general discussion one day, Jesus turned directly to those disciples and asked, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, ever the leader, declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He got it right, but his statement of faith then led Jesus to begin to share that very soon he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. Peter couldn't stomach the thought. He said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And Jesus replied, "Get behind me, Satan." What a learning curve it was for Peter. Sound familiar? And then it happened again. During the first Holy Week, upon hearing Jesus' prediction that all of the disciples would eventually abandon him, Peter said, "Even if everyone falls away on account of you, I never will." And don't you know, that very night, in the face of public pressure, Peter denied even knowing Jesus 3 different times. When he realized what he had done, he broke down and wept. Yeah, Peter was such a passionate follower of Christ, wasn't he? And I think he represents parts of all of our stories. We are so quick to make our promises to God and then just as quick to fall way short of ever fulfilling them. While others were standing at the foot of the cross, Peter was still in hiding for fear of his own life. And yet, in spite of all his shortcomings, God had a plan for Peter's life, and I want you to know that he has a plan for yours. You see, when we get our eyes off of ourselves for a moment and onto what Jesus has done for us, we get set free. We begin living off the page on the basis of a heart deep relationship with Jesus, and everything changes. Friends, have you discovered the difference? Following Jesus' resurrection, Peter was restored, and so can be every one of us here today. It's called grace. No sin is too great that it can't be washed clean by the one who they said of, "This is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world." It was Peter who ran to the empty grave on that first Easter Sunday, having heard the reports of the women. It was Peter who, several days later, having fished all night and caught nothing, caught so many fish at Jesus' direction that his nets could not hold them. When we trust in Jesus, instead of operating merely on the basis of our own strength, that's when blessings start to flow in our lives. Now, I don't know what particular challenges you're facing right now, but you do. And God does. Are you fishing all night and coming up empty? Maybe it's time to listen for the voice of the Master. It was Peter who, 50 days after the resurrection, on what we call Pentecost, experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and preached the first Christian sermon. And that day, 3,000 people believed the gospel and came to Christ. In the years that followed, it was Peter who established the first Christian church in Jerusalem. And it was Peter who was later martyred for his faith, crucified, hanging upside down by the Roman soldiers to mock the very name of the Savior in whom he had given his life. What a story. But Peter's is not the only faith adventure written into this storybook we call the Bible. There's Mary Magdalene. Do you know that name? You heard it. She had a backstory too, and it wasn't a pretty one. She had a sordid past, and the Gospels tell how Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. Some suggest that this is a reference to mental illness or even a terrible case of epilepsy. Out of gratefulness, I'm sure, Mary became a dedicated follower of Jesus. And in one account, she washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, anointed him with expensive perfume. All of this, much to the dismay of the religious leaders. Mary Magdalene is mentioned by name 14 times in the Bible, more than many of the apostles themselves. She's the only person to be present at 3 of the main events on that first Holy Week: the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. On Easter Sunday, she was the first to reach the empty tomb and hear the angel announcement. She was the first to see the resurrected Jesus face to face. And she was the first to bear witness to this amazing news as she ran to tell the others. Friends, transformation happens when God's story intersects with our story. Our past can't hold us down. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from. Jesus is in the changed lives business. Has he changed yours? You all know the name of Judas. It's a name that no one chooses to name their child today for obvious reasons. Judas was the betrayer. He traded false testimony about Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And when he realized what he'd done and went to give the money back, it was too late. Now, under the influence of Satan, his eyes were blinded to the possibility of redemption. And in total desperation, Judas went out and hung himself. A sad ending to a situation in society today that is all too familiar. But hear me on this. Even when we're late in our repentance, Jesus is right on time in his forgiveness. No one is ever outside the reach of the loving arms of Jesus Christ, but we must turn to him by faith, both in our times of need and in our times of blessing. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The Apostle Paul declares, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There are so many more stories surrounding this greatest story, and sometimes they reflect bits and pieces of our lives too. John, the beloved disciple, who was there at the foot of the cross when all the others had run away. John, who was there with Peter to see the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday. There's Mary, Jesus' mother, who was also there at the cross, in her silence, again, pondering all these things in her heart, just as she had done at Jesus' birth. Just imagine the grief of Jesus' mom at the loss of her son. There was the centurion soldier who repented at the moment of Jesus' death and declared, "Surely this was the Son of God." There's Pontius Pilate and King Herod, two unlikely allies who both tried to absolve themselves of Jesus' death sentence but had blood on their hands. There's Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man who took pity and offered his garden tomb as a place for Jesus to be buried. And there are the other women who went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body only to find that he wasn't there. Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and Joanna, women of faith who were eyewitnesses to history. Are your eyes wide open today? Stories. We all have one. And right in the midst of them, God meets us there. I want to introduce you to the story of a young man from Christ Church named Nick Walls. You've already seen him playing the electric guitar with such skill and passion on our worship team this morning. And if you're a regular here, you may have seen him cranking out the most beautiful drinks at the Blessed Bean coffee shop in the lobby. But let me tell you that about 3 years ago, Nick didn't know the front end of the Bible from the back. And he certainly didn't know that God's story had anything to do with his story. And then one night, when Nick needed him the most, God showed up. And ever since that day, Nick has been living off the page. Watch and listen.
We were in a driveway and we were both crying, and she just started pounding on my chest. Then she ran inside her house and grabbed all my belongings that were in her house, and she threw them at me and yelled, "You cheated on me," and slammed the door shut and went inside and started crying the loudest I've ever heard a person cry in my life. And I got in my car and I started driving as fast as I could to get home. And I was sitting in my car and I was praying to God, "Lord, if you want me to live, then clear my path. But if I'm not supposed to be here anymore, then just put a deer in front of my car on my way home, because I'm not slowing down." And I was driving 80, 90, 100, 110 miles per hour, and nothing got in my way. I made it home safely, but it was just a really dark moment in my past. And so after our relationship ended, I realized I had put a lot of my faith into that relationship. And I had put a lot of faith into dating and into other relationships in the past, and just having that physical connection with somebody. And I realized that's not where my faith is supposed to be. God just sort of took me in from that experience. He said to me, "Nick, that's not who you are. You're my child, and you're adopted into our family now. You can put everything that you've had happen to you in the past behind you and just hang it on the foot of the cross and come be with me, because I have a life for you that you need to live." But about a month after the breakup, I was really trying to put on a front whenever I came to church. We were all together in the prayer room, and our worship leader, Andrew, he sort of knew what was going on a little bit. And so he came up to me after we were finished with prayer time. And he just looked at me and said, "How are you doing?" And I couldn't say anything. So I stood up and he just gave me a hug. And he started praying for me. And then, Brant came over and started praying with me, and then Connor came over and started praying with me, and we just had this giant group of people praying over me while I'm standing in the prayer room crying. I think God has this miraculous way of changing circumstances, that when you go through really hard times or you put yourself in these really bad situations that with God you never would have been in, he just takes those and he uses them to pull you in, to show you his love. Because in those times where we feel like nobody could possibly love me for the things that I've done in my life, that's when God looks at you and he holds you and he says, "You're wrong, because nobody loves you more than me." And that's what he did for me.
Praise the Lord. Thanks to Nick for sharing with us this morning through the video, and it's been so amazing to see what God's been doing in his life. You know, friends, we all have a story. We're all dealing with stuff. We all need to hear that angel announcement from our resurrection gospel. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. You see, when you open your heart and allow God's story to intersect with your story, several amazing things happen, and I so want you to experience them today. First, when God's story intersects with your story, you begin to realize that God loves you. You come to see that God actually cares about the individual situations in your life that you're dealing with, and it's like a light going on. You know, it's easy to come here on an Easter Sunday and celebrate a holiday and think in grand terms about what Jesus did for the whole world, but do you know that he died and was raised for you? C.S. Lewis, author of Mere Christianity and the Chronicles of Narnia, said, "If you were the only person alive, Jesus would have died for you." That's an amazing thought, isn't it? One that's reflected so clearly in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, two of the best known verses in the Bible. Say them with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That whoever believes in him," you are a whoever, and God knows you by name. "His love is both powerful enough to break the curse of sin and death for the whole world, and yet personal enough to reach down into your little corner of the world and save you." And I can tell you today that God knows you and loves you more than you can think or imagine. Second, when God's story intersects with your story, you begin to realize that God is with you. You're not alone. Jesus came to be more than your Savior. He came to be your friend and to walk with you every day. Here's a great verse. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them," meaning the people or the challenges in your life. "For the Lord your God goes with you." Say that phrase with me. "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Now you may remember that when Jesus was born, one of the names given to him was Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then when he was giving his final marching orders to his disciples just prior to his ascension, the last thing he said to them was, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Don't you think God wants us to know that he's with us? He's for us, he loves us, and he's with us. And in order to write your story the way God intends, you've got to know both of those things. Third, when God's story intersects with your story, you begin to realize that faith is for today. Forgiveness and eternal life, yes, absolutely, wonderful. But faith is also about real life now, every day. And friends, this is the difference between having a little religion on Christmas and Easter and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Having an authentic faith in Jesus doesn't mean checking your brain at the door. No, it means knowing who you are in Christ and then using your brain and your brawn, your talents and your abilities, your creativity and your drive to love God, to love others, and to make a difference in the world. It's about living life on purpose. It's the theme of this story series for the next 5 weeks at Christ Church. It's about living off the page. Now, the Apostle Paul summarized it this way in Colossians 3:17. He said, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, life in Him is about whatever you do. And fourth, when God's story intersects with your story, you begin to realize that hope is for tomorrow. You know, it's said that worry is the greatest enemy of hope. But when you come to realize that God is not only holding you in the palm of His hand, but also holding your future, worry goes out the window. I'm not saying that you check out of life like some Christian hermit. Just the opposite is true. When you get set free from worry and fear, you're able to check into life and live every day to the fullest as a gift from God. Now, our buddy Peter, the Apostle Peter, put it this way, and I want you to read this one with me, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You see, when God's story intersects with your story, you will not only discover who you are in Christ, you'll discover who you are for the world. And it's a beautiful thing. Oh, you can try to store up all kinds of treasures for yourself in this life, and they can all be gone in a moment, don't we know? But when you come to Jesus, you are in fact reborn into a living hope, and all because of Jesus' resurrection, and nobody can ever take that joy from you. In this marvelous journey of living every day for Jesus, we discover that we each have a story to share. And the beautiful part of it, friends, is that no two stories are alike. Everybody in this room, you've all got a different story to tell. You've all got a different history, roads you've walked, sins you've battled, relationships you've developed, opportunities you've embraced. But in Christ, we know that the best is yet to come. The rest of your story is still to be written. And so, my friends, this Easter provides you with a wonderful opportunity to turn the page to the next chapter of your life. Yes, fully committed as a follower of Jesus, but also quite aware that you must trust in His love and His grace to keep you moving forward. God isn't sending you on a guilt trip today, but rather an adventure of discovering more of how God's story connects with your story and becomes a witness to the world. Are you ready? In Proverbs 14:1, catch this. It says, "Only a fool says in his heart, there is no God." Well, I'm going to put my own spin on this verse today since it's April Fool's Day, okay? Here we go. Only a fool hears the awesome message of Easter Sunday and walks away still intent on doing life their way. Jesus is calling you to come follow this morning. God's amazing gifts of love, forgiveness, and eternal life are no April Fool's joke. They are the real deal. They are what makes life worth living. And I encourage you to receive these gifts and make them your own today. It's as simple as saying, "Yes, Jesus, I'm in. I'm not running anymore. I believe in You, I trust in You, and I want You in my life," because God knows your heart. No fancy words required. We all have a story, and I look forward to getting to know yours. If you don't have a church home, I want you to consider becoming a part of this church family. You know, we're far from perfect here, but we're on this journey together, and God is giving us a story. This is a congregation that is seeing lives changed. People are getting healed. Marriages are getting strengthened. Children and youth are getting set on the right path, and whole communities are experiencing the power of God at work. We would love to have you join us, and I would love to be your pastor. Friends, when God's story intersects with our stories, we are changed and life is never the same again. So this is your Easter moment. Right now, it's time to register your name along with Peter, John, Mary Magdalene, and the others as a participant in the greatest story ever told. Will you please stand with me now as I lead us in prayer? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and make this a personal moment for each of us to have a little talk with God. God, this is it. We're all here on another Easter Sunday. And I believe that many, if not all of us in this room, are ready to say yes to life the way that you intend it to be. Whether we are 2 or 22 or 82, we want the rest of our story to be your story of love for the world. So we come now as every true disciple must, not by faith in ourselves and our goodness, and certainly not with every question answered, but by faith in what you did for us through your cross and your resurrection. And now, people, I'm going to lead, but I just invite you to pray these words in your heart this morning. Please forgive me, God, for my many sins and my prideful rebellion. I repent and turn to you. This morning I receive the gift of forgiveness and salvation through faith in Christ alone. Please fill me with your presence and with your power today, so that for every day moving forward I can live my life for you. And when I stumble, remind me that I am your child, that I am not alone, and that you will never give up on me. In Jesus' name.